So let's start this morning. Turn to Galatians chapter 3. We'll be reading verses 1 through 10. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Just as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, In you all the nations shall be blessed. So when those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, Cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. So last week, in verses 1 through 5, we see that Paul began to shift his focus away from the false teachers and focused on the believers in Galatia themselves. Having turned from the gospel of salvation by faith alone, they were being convinced by the Judaizers that circumcision and law-keeping was required. Paul was quite disappointed in them and calling them foolish. How could they who have begun in the Spirit now be made perfect in the flesh? If you remember last week, in these verses, he lays down his argument for justification through Christ alone, by faith alone, and not of any actions or works that a person could do. So today we will pick this back up, starting in verse 6, where Paul uses Abraham as his argument of being justified by faith alone. Paul knew exactly what he was doing. He was turning the false teachers' own argument back against them. They were making a claim that being children of Abraham, and that only through being a child of Abraham, does the spiritual blessings come. So therefore, you must become a Jew to become a true son of Abraham. Paul says, no, you do not. You have completely missed the point. So Paul jumps in. He doesn't set up an elaborate, long, complicated debate. All he does here is he quotes Scripture. In verse 6, he says, just as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him to righteousness. Paul is quoting Genesis. If we turn to chapter 15, we'll see it in chapter 15. So let's turn there. We'll read verses 1 through 7. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. But Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing that I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? Then Abram said, Look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, This one shall not be your heir, but one who will come for your own body shall be your heir. Then he brought him outside and said, Look, now toward heaven, and count the stars if you are able to number them. And he said to him, So shall your descendants be. And he believed in the Lord, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Then he said to him, I am the Lord, who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to inherit it. So here we see God's promise to Abraham that he will have a son and an heir from his own body. Despite Abraham and his wife being past childbearing age, he did not doubt God. Abraham believed God. He had faith in God that he would fulfill his promise and that he was sovereign and the all-powerful God who is able to complete his promise. Abraham had faith, and he believed, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. God not only promised Abraham a child, an heir, he also promised him land, and that he would be a father of many nations. It is interesting that Abraham is a key figure in three different religions, but each one sees Abraham and what makes them right with God differently. First, we have the Israelites, who are the physical nation of God's promise, the offspring of Isaac, the promised heir. Then we have the Muslims who regard Abraham as the ancestor of the Arabs through Ishmael and they claim him as their father. Then we have Christianity, who regard Abraham as their spiritual father through Christ. God said, your name shall no longer be Abram, but Abraham, for I will make you a father of many nations. So we can see that this is true. He is the physical father of the Jews and the Muslims, but that isn't the only nation he's the father of. He is also the father of the spiritual nation of faith. God gave Abram three promises: a land promise, a nation promise, and a seed promise. And we need to understand these promises to get a full understanding of how the Jews saw their father Abraham. We saw the promise of God to Abraham in this morning readings of Genesis 12. Also in chapter 13, starting in verse 14, says, "And the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which you see, I will give you and your descendants forever, and I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also could be numbered." Later, we see the fulfillment of God's promise that Abraham will be the father of a mighty nation. For in Exodus, it says that the descendants of Abraham have grown into a mighty nation. Under the Egyptian captivity, they multiplied and grew exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them, so much so that they were mightier and had outnumbered the Egyptians. We also know that God fulfilled the land promise in Joshua 21, verse 43, says the Lord gave to Israel all the land of which he had sworn to give their fathers, and they took possession of it and dwelt in it. Then we have the seed promise. Genesis 22:18 says, "In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." God tells Abraham again that I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of heaven. I will give to your descendants all of these lands, and in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. And again, in chapter 28, we see God's promise to Abraham and his seed. Also your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and the east, to the north and the south, and in you and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. This seed that God promised was Christ. Out of Abraham's seed will come the Messiah, the Savior of the world. That is what Paul is getting at here in Galatians. Before there was a physical nation of Israel, before they were given the promised land, while Abraham was still Abram, the Chaldean, Paul says that he believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. That is the genius of Paul's argument here against the Judaizing false teachers. The very person that they are looking at as their father and believes it will make them an heir to God's promise is the same that Paul points to and says in verse 7 of Galatians, "Therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham." Abraham was declared righteous before circumcision. He was declared righteous while he was an uncircumcised Chaldean Gentile. That right there gives these Judaizers nothing to stand on for the very person that they are pointing to, the very nation they are claiming that you must be part of to gain favor before God. Paul shows that Abraham was justified by faith before and apart from being a Jew, while still a Gentile. And it is those who are of faith that are the true sons of Abraham. The Jews thought that they were something special, that they were chosen of God, a holy nation. And on one level, you could say that that was true. God always provided for them despite their rebellion. God never forgot his promise to Abraham and fulfilled each and every one physically. But the Jews missed the biggest point. God's whole purpose was to create for himself a holy nation out of every nation, tribe, and tongue of the world, and that nation is a nation of faith. The gospel of Christ is the good news of God forgiving sins and granting eternal life. These are the very things that Abraham believed. Even though he did not know Jesus Christ by name, he trusted him nonetheless. He believed that God would forgive his sins and grant him eternal life. He had faith in both atonement and the resurrection. We see that when God told him to sacrifice his son Isaac, not only did he have faith that God would provide a lamb for the sacrifice, he also believed that God could resurrect his son from the dead. Before he even took Isaac up the mountain, he told those other men with them to stay with the donkey and that he and Isaac will go up and will return. Abraham had full intention to sacrifice his son as God had told him to, but he had faith that God would keep his promises to him and would either provide an alternative or would resurrect his son from death. So we see Abraham's faith is in a God who keeps his promises, in a God who is sovereign even over death, and in a God who could forgive sins and grant eternal life. All those who are children of Abraham are those who are of the same faith as Abraham. It is through the promised seed, which is Christ, and faith in him that we inherit the promised land. It is that faith which sets us apart to be a holy nation. Paul does not stop there, though, even though his argument leaves nothing for his detractors to stand on. He proved them wrong by showing that he is a true apostle and his authority to teach was given to him by God himself. He proved his acceptance by the other apostles in Jerusalem, proving that these men claimed to be from the Jerusalem church were not there by the authority of the apostles in Jerusalem as they were claiming. And now he completely destroys their argument, claiming the promises to Abraham were actually spiritual in nature and prophetic of the Messiah, and that the true meaning is that those of faith, not physical lineage, are the heirs of God's promise. As if that was not enough, Paul goes on to prove that this was God's design and plan all along. In verse 8, he says, "And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, 'In you all the nations shall be blessed.'" Abraham was promised that the Messiah, the Savior of the world, would come from his lineage. In Abraham's seed, in Christ, all the nations shall be blessed. Paul shows that there is more here than the physical aspect of the promise, and he shows that salvation of the Gentiles was God's plan from the beginning. God is not the God of the Jews only, but of the whole world. So we could bring this that Paul is saying here right back to last week in chapter 3. Here Paul shows that salvation and justification is of the Spirit by faith. He shows that Abraham, before any covenant, before any works, while a Gentile himself believed in God and had faith in God, and that belief and faith was accounted to him for righteousness. So if you remember last week, Paul asked the Gentiles, "Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Did God, who supplied the Spirit to you, do it by law or by faith?" Paul has now shown that even Abraham was declared righteous because of his faith in God and the promised Messiah, and not of any work that he had done. So where does that leave us today? Do you have faith? Do you believe in Christ, the promised seed of Abraham, and his atoning work on the cross? If so, then you are heirs to the promise given to Abraham. This is quite astounding if we stop a moment to think about it. Before creation, in eternity past, God set forth this plan. His plan included this man Abram, a nomad, who he made a covenant with that the Messiah would come through his lineage, that the Son of God would become flesh, be born of a virgin, to die and take the penalty of sin for his people, so that they may be in right standing with God the Father. And it is those who are of this faith, like Abraham's, that are heirs to all of God's promises. What an awesome God we serve. Let us close in prayer. Do we just give you all glory and praise and blessing, Lord. We look at your work through the ages, your plan that you've set forth, that you would call yourself a people. Lord, we just stand in awe and in amazement at your power, your glory, and your grace that you would send your Son as a sacrifice to die in our place for our sins. Lord, we just thank you for all that you have provided and for all that you continue to provide and do. And in Jesus' name, amen.